Welcome back, 416, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. My next guest is a man familiar with the program. He's been here a couple of times. Congressman Mike Kelly represents Pennsylvania's 3rd District. And I got to tell you, Congressman, yesterday I'm sitting here watching the House Oversight Committee hearing on the security in Benghazi, and I hear a familiar voice, and it happened to be yours. And I'll play you a little bit of what I heard.
Steve, I'm going to tell you, this thing smells. Listen, I mean, it waddles like a duck and quacks like a duck. It's a duck.
Okay, now keep in mind that I really wasn't paying attention. I was kind of listening to this, and I went, "That's Mike Kelly." I turned and looked, and there you were. And you were in your pit bull mode. And I got to tell you, I could tell your blood pressure was elevated over all this stuff.
Well, you know what, Andy, first of all, it's always nice being with you and being on Washington Times Radio. But you know what, I'm outraged. I think the American public should be outraged. And when you look at what's going on and you keep getting more and more information on it, even though early on we were told it was some 15-minute video on YouTube, when you look at the facts and what's happened, and when you see Lieutenant Colonel Wood and Mr. Nordstrom sitting right across from him, and they're explaining their frustration and their feelings about having lost very close people. And Lieutenant Colonel Wood used to jog with Ambassador Stevens because that was one of the things he liked to do in the morning. And they said, "Listen, it's already happening on the social network. Please don't make yourself vulnerable." But apparently, Ambassador Stevens was one of those guys, just a gung-ho guy, really wanted to do the best job he could for America. And you see, our people, we put them in diplomatic service, and they're in some very, very dangerous places, and they make a commitment to us, they put their life on the line, and then you see what happens. You said, couldn't we have at least looked at this and really paid attention to the boots on the ground, the people that were telling us how unstable it was, how dangerous it was? Couldn't we have listened to them and made sure that our ambassador was protected the right way? And it outrages me. And as far as my blood pressure, I just, you know, sometimes you get your Irish up and you can't figure out why in the world do these things happen? And I come down to, you know what? There's a lack of capability and a dereliction of duty at the very top. This administration has come up short in so many ways.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that bothered me yesterday was this Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, Charlene Lamb, I believe her name was,
yes,
still refusing to use the word terrorism. And then when questioned by Sandy Adams, you know, was reluctant to say Al-Qaeda. I mean, you know, come on, what's going on there?
Well, you know what? These folks, they'll follow the script. You know that. They are, if nothing else, you could say, now I'm not going to challenge their competency, they can do that on their own, but they have a tremendous loyalty to this administration. They will not go off script, even when it's so obvious. And I thought, and maybe you picked up on this too, Ambassador Kennedy says, you know, the video, yes, but I knew after the first couple of days that it was a terrorist attack. Now, he's sitting there and saying, well, then why didn't you say that? Well, because of the information we had at that time, we really we didn't know for sure. And, you know, if we had a little more time to question them, and as we go forward, we're going to question other people, I'm hoping. I'd like to find out from Jay Carney and Ambassador Rice, who gave them those talking points that they went out on. They just go out on their own, you know, with a 3x5 card of things that they dreamed up before they went and made these appearances. They said things that Trey Gowdy was very, very emphatic about how they said it, the way they said it, and the American people, again, this is about Americans losing their lives, and you got to wonder when the executive office and the Secretary of State, I haven't seen her, by the way, for almost 2 weeks, she's kind of gone in the dark, where are they and why can't they come forward with what happened and say, listen, we made a huge mistake, and we're going to make sure it never happens again. I just get so tired of getting stonewalled and getting the smoke blown at you to the point where you say, listen, okay, fine, we won't ask any more questions. But you know Chairman Issa as well as I do, and you know Jason Chaffetz as well as I do. Listen, they're bulldogs in this. We're going to find out because the American people have the right to know, and the oversight has a responsibility to find out.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny that you mentioned the Secretary of State because I just took a phone call before you came on from a man by the name of Rich in Centerville. He called in specifically to say, where is the Secretary of State in all of this? And he wanted me to ask you that. And you don't know.
I said that right after it happened. I said the Secretary of State needs to stand up now, and this is her responsibility. The State Department has to understand. And I had talked to my cousin John, who's a retired special ops guy, and when this first happened, I said, Johnny, where are our Marines? How did this ever happen? He said, Cousin Mike, that's not our determination. That falls solely under the State Department. I said, wait, what you mean? So he said, no, not unless we're assigned there do we go in. We have people out there, but the State Department makes those determinations. I said, you're kidding me. You are kidding me. So this falls squarely. He said, absolutely. So then Ms. Clinton, Secretary Clinton, has disappeared from the scene. When was the last time anybody saw her? And wouldn't you think that she'd be coming forward now, because she was so emphatic about, and the administration so emphatic, that this was a result of a 15-minute YouTube. Why can't they come forward now and talk to us about all the things that we have found out? And whistleblowers, from internal whistleblowers, have been sending documents to us of the number of requests by the people that they should be relying on, the people who are there on the ground saying, we need help.
Yeah.
We need to keep the D.C. free so we can get in and get out. We need to extend our stay. This is too dangerous right now.
Yeah. Do you think that the root of the problem is the fact that they had spiked the ball so many times talking about bin Laden's death, and then we get attacked by Al-Qaeda after they said Al-Qaeda was on their heels? Remember that? They said, we've got Al-Qaeda on their heels. All of a sudden, it's a big embarrassment only 4 weeks out. Well, in this case, it was, what, about 6 or 7 weeks out from the election. But, I mean, it's all political?
Well, it's only political with these folks when you challenge their capability. Then it becomes, oh, you're being partisan. No, I'm not being partisan. I'm being an American. And when we lose the quality of people that we've lost, and we find out that, you know what, we could have done something about it, we should have done something about it, and we turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the requests from the people who were there that we put in harm's way, there's something wrong. And Andy, I got to tell you, and I mean this sincerely, there is something wrong with this administration. You know, the big claim was, well, you know, because the president grew up in Muslim countries, he has the ability to communicate with them.
Yeah.
The great communicator.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, Africa is on fire. Northern Africa is a disaster. Every place we look where this man has been, it sets you to wonder is, so the talking, the sitting down and actually discussing things, do you think that's working? Because I don't see it that way. This is a part of the world where kindness is interpreted as weakness, and I got to, strong, you've got to be strong, and you've got to be committed, and this is the type of thing that emboldens these folks that think that we don't have the resolve to get the job done, and we put people's lives on the line with this. I am just so outraged that this has happened.
Yeah. Plain and simple, we're just not respected like we once were around the world.
Well, you can't be. You can't be. The old story was, you know, walk softly but carry a big stick. Well, I got to tell you, every once in a while, you better use that stick, and if you're not going to use the stick, don't bother even going in anymore.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. And that area of the world where there is really, right now, it's kind of a wild, wild west. The Libyan government is not stabilized yet. We knew that there were different factions working there. When I read the reports now that have been made public, you and I would look at that as just everyday guys sitting down and not being involved at that level and say, oh, my gosh, this is a powder keg. We can't have people in there unprotected. But we did that. And the night that the ambassador was killed, was murdered, at 8:30, I read this account, he said goodbye to a Turkish diplomat who he had dinner with, walked out of the compound, shook hands with him. He was standing out in the street and waved goodbye to him. At 9:40, this mass shows up. And as Ms. Lamb said, she could watch it in real time. And I was thinking to myself, you were watching it in real time? How about the ambassador and these folks that were living it in real time? What do you think was going through their minds?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, this is absolutely, again, this is outrageous, and it's irresponsible, and it's, again, an indication of an administration that is incompetent.
Right. And, of course, the Democrats, they blamed the Republicans for not funding operations that could have provided security, yet I noticed that you have an op-ed piece in today's Washington Times that says, yeah, okay, well, if it's a money issue, then why are we spending $108,000 on electric vehicle charging stations for an embassy in Vienna?
Well, it's a matter of priorities, is it not? And in our private lives, there's a lot of things we'd like to have, but we really go with the things we must have. If you can find money to do these crazy things, and because the green agenda is being pushed by the administration, and we're going to have this green sweep of the greening of the embassy. And meanwhile, we've got an embassy over in Benghazi that people are bombing. There were 230 security incidents in Libya between the June 11th, between June of 2011 and 2012. And in Benghazi, 48 took place in Benghazi, plus that they call it a compound now. Twice was attacked.
Yeah.
And you got to say yourself, what are you thinking about here? My goodness. Listen, I love Vienna. Sit down, listen to Vienna walls, sip a little champagne, have nice hors d'oeuvres, and meet with 100 or so people and talk about the Green Initiative. And meanwhile, over in Libya, where we have people really in harm's way, we can't find money to do some things. Plus, the fact is, you know, that's a false claim. And we did. We jumped the budget in 2011 over 2010. We added 100 more million, and last year we added 5 more million over what the administration asked for when it came to security overseas. So that one doesn't float. What they're talking about, I heard one of the members yesterday. Well, they were talking about the 2013 budget that was proposed or that passed through the Republican-led Congress. I'm thinking, wait, isn't this 2012?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? So you start to watch the unraveling of it, and it's very disappointing because we're really talking now about American lives. Now, listen, I don't care how those folks are registered or how they vote. They're Americans. They were out doing what they thought was best for our country. They're patriots. My goodness, there's nothing about that that's political. That's just common sense. You got to protect your own.
Yep. All right, Congressman Mike Kelly is my guest. I have about a minute left. I wanted to ask you about tonight. Big debate. What do you expect from Joe Biden and Paul Ryan?
Well, as you know, with Joe Biden, I think everybody's expecting him to do some, you know, say some things or be a little volatile. I know Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan is one of the most solid individuals that you could have. And when you think about it, if truly the vice presidency is one heartbeat away from running the country, who do you want sitting in that seat? I mean that sincerely. I don't think there's anything about Joe Biden's past that I would say I have confidence in this man handling the most important job in the world. I do have great confidence in Paul. I know who he is. I know where he came from. I know what his values are. And I know that above everything else, Paul is probably one of the most thoughtful person and smart guys that can talk to us on an everyday basis. So my vote is always going to be for a guy like that in a leadership position. Mr. Biden may be entertaining to some people from time to time, but I don't want him sitting in the big chair.
Yep, I hear you. All right, well, listen, folks, if you haven't checked it out, you can go to WashingtonTimes.com right now. Mike Kelly has an op-ed piece, and it's all about Libya's security being cut while Vienna embassy gained Chevy Volts. You'll want to read that. As always, Congressman, great to have you on the air. We'll do it again.
Andy, thanks so much.
Take care.
Okay,
it is.
Bye-bye now.
See ya. 428, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT.